Dan's Driving Double Feature presents A Minute to Dismember, episode 27, minute 20. Well, Frankie went out looking for whatever the source of that noise was. Couldn't find anything, although a cat/rat jumped by him. There is someone in the house, and it's either someone wearing, looked like black pants and black shoes, or a woman in a dress of some kind. Could be either one. And if you have Frankie sat down with Sandy and they're about to smooch when a superimposed kind of disembodied hand is shown somewhere. Let's hear what happens next.
At 6:25,
I received a phone call from a voice so well disguised I couldn't tell whether it was a man or a woman. The voice said, and laughed, a demented laugh, "Go to 9 Sycamore Street."
It's the minute Frankie and Sandy lost their heads. Yep, that's what's happening in the first half of this before O'Malley starts talking. You see Frankie get his head cut off by someone with a machete, and you see Sandy get her head cut off by someone with a machete, and it's all a hoot. Nah, it's fine. The Frankie's head getting cut off, there looks like there's some force behind the machete being swung, and his head kind of falls forward. It looks like the when the woman's head falls off at the beginning of Carnival of Blood, when she comes out of like the funhouse type thing. That's sort of what that looks like. And then you see sort of Sandy's teeth, and they're covered with blood, and her mouth and teeth are covered with blood. And then, and probably the what I would call the love tap, the machete sort of touches the side. Well, it's in silhouette, touches the side of Sandy's head, and her head goes rolling off. And you see a strange out of focus shot of Frankie's face or head with blood all over it. And then a really weird moment, as if you needed another one, you see the fire that we saw a shot of earlier, although I don't think we actually saw the fire since we saw the fireplace. We didn't actually see that fireplace fire. We saw it once after the off-white limbo room, but we haven't seen it since then. But you see someone who has like big, they've got a big pair of tongs, and they put what I presume is Frankie's head in the fire, and the camera sits looking at Frankie's head for a while. Now it looks more like a wax head or something, and you see it begin to sort of melt. And it's almost like a theatrical head or something, you know, like that. Like you wouldn't, you know, if you were putting like a Grand Guignol, like that sort of thing. It doesn't look like a real head in the slightest. And yeah, I guess it's meant to be Frankie. It could be Sandy, I guess. If this was a woman, maybe she's jealous and she's putting the head in. I mean, I guess it's impossible to tell. I hesitate to say the other weird thing. Well, you know, the whole weird thing starts over that great hand, that superimposed, spirity hand, which is probably, I would bet, from the original version of the movie that the one Chuck keeps mentioning that he's saw years ago, the one that has like a ghosty element in it. But it's a nice touch. It and right after it, I think when you first see the machete is when the music does that really weird and kind of speeds up, it gets up to speed kind of thing. I'll talk about the music after I go through the rest of the minute here. But yeah, the weird thing is we saw the woman, the shoes, those nice sandally shoes things. We saw like the feet and the legs, presumably in a dress. And then we saw what, like I said, looked like someone in like black pants or slacks and looked like dark shoes in the near Frankie when Frankie was in that area that he was in where the cat rat jumped at him. But the person who puts the head in the fire is wearing like a long, silky, white, or like even off-white sort of robe, which looks like it gets a little too close to the fire for my taste. But so this is like a third person, or it can't, this, they, so there are three people in there looking at all this happening. This is like, this isn't the, I mean, this robe goes down to like the feet. This is not the person who was in the shoes before, and this is not the person with the black pants before. We would have seen the white of the robe in the darkness. So I don't know who puts the head in there. Maybe someone comes by later and puts the head there. Maybe Frankie's got a lineup of ladies who get very jealous of him, and why not? So then it cuts to the second half of the minute is basically O'Malley sitting at his desk. And when he picks up the phone, he said, you can see his mouth moves and says, O'Malley. But, you know, he doesn't actually, you know, speak. You know, it's all voiceover. And yeah, he just sits there listening, and it was so well disguised I couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman. Well, make a guess. Maybe. I like that line is added to keep the confusion level at a high. And it is at a high at this point. But yeah, Frankie and Sandy are dead. Now, and with Vicky out, I suppose suspicion goes on Vicky. But at the same time, this is still the Bloody October Day, right? So we still have all these dead Kent family members, don't we? Is that still a thing? Did that? I think Doris has made a surreal masterpiece. And, you know, she may have missed a bit here and there as she was putting stuff together. And she does say in the commentary, when the head gets put in the fireplace, she says, I don't know why I did this. Why is this in here? I guess I needed footage. And she does say when the heads are being lobbed off, and Chuck is saying, oh, look at that, all the gore, the blood spraying in the air. And she says, I think it's too much. It just becomes ridiculous. It's too much. And I thought, oh, well, you know, Doris draws the line. But she didn't actually draw the line, because she includes it, and there's a lot more gore like this in the movie, and there has been gore like this before. So she draws the line and then immediately steps over it, which is all part of the joy of our Doris. I want to talk about the music here, because that's pretty much the coverage of the minute. But the music, you know, I think the two instruments that are not conducive to horror, I think, when you're trying to be really horror-y, are slap bass. Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum-bum-bum. I always refer to the TV show Shadow Chasers from 1985, early 86, I think. The 2-hour pilot movie has a sequence in it where there's sort of like a poltergeisty attack in a garage, and one of the main characters is in the garage, and all of a sudden like all the paint cans begin to fly all over the place and all sorts of craziness and things burst into flame, and it's great, and it should be like creepy or exciting music, but the music is like da 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 bom bom, you know, and like paint cans are bursting. It's like bom bom bom, and that was like the 16-month period where people thought slap bass could do any emotion. Then the other thing would be kettle drum bong, that big kind of goofball bong that's throughout this minute. It's like, maybe if I'm goofy and I'm in a haunted house and I'm trying to find Mickey or Donald, yeah, that music is appropriate. But when people's heads are getting cut off and getting placed in fires, that boing is not as appropriate as it could be. But it is funny. And it is actually funnier, though maybe not as entertaining, as this music.
I love this shot. I love it. You think I'm crazy? But I love this shot. No, not this. The shot with the hand.